The American justice system is as old as the country itself, with many elements from the British and earlier legal systems, which makes it relatively young on the North American continent when you stop to think about it. People lived on the continent and managed themselves in societies for thousands of years before anyone speaking English showed up. In recent years, the people from the older societies started setting up courts and other elements of justice systems that could be more responsive to the needs of tribal people. Two of those systems are portrayed in a recent documentary called Tribal Justice, coming to PBS. We have two guests with us. Anne Makepeace is the director of Tribal Justice. Thank you for joining us, Anne.
Thank you for having me.
And we have with us as well one of the chief characters in the film, the chief judge of the Yurok Tribal Court, Judge Abby Abinante. And we can call you Judge Abby, is that right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Judge Abby, was there a worse time for Yuroks in the general justice system, a case that made tribal leaders say, you know, we need to do something differently?
I think for several years we have felt that we needed to build a infrastructure that was responsive to today's world. And that's really what caused us to start building our own infrastructure. And we were looking around, and we felt like we could get better results. And we set up a system that was reflective of our value system and works off of the principles that we're used to in that kind of system. So it looks somewhat like a state system, and in many ways it does not.
Are there procedural differences, or is it more about keeping things in tune with the tribal values of the past?
There are procedural differences. I mean, for instance, if you commit an offense and you come into court, you're offered an opportunity for a trial or an opportunity to sit and talk it out and try to make it right. And probably 98 people out of 100 will choose, let's sit and talk it out and make it right.
Huh, wow. And so what can be the result of those sessions?
Well, generally speaking, you resolve whatever the issue was. If it was, you know, a fishing violation or a trespass violation or littering or whatever it was, then you have to make amends for it, if you will, or go, okay, this is what I can do. I left my nets in too long, and I know that's against the rules, so I will give fish to the elder and make that contribution, and therefore in the community I will have made this right because it's a community offense to overfish.
Ah, okay, so you're affecting more than one person. It's an offense to
right.
Everyone. Yeah, I see that. Anne Makepeace, let's bring you in and talk about what got you onto the story of the Yurok Tribal Court and the other tribal court.
Well, my films come to me in many different ways. Sometimes it's a newspaper article I read. Sometimes it's just something I overhear. In this case, the idea was brought to me by Ruth Cowan, who became our executive producer. Ruth is a political scientist who'd been involved with an earlier film about courts in post-apartheid South Africa, and she was showing that film actually in California when Jenny Walter, who became our very important production consultant on the project, came up to her and said, you really should do a film about tribal courts in California. So Ruth then found me. Well, I'm not Native. I've done a number of films in Native communities, and so she had heard about me. And when she brought the idea to me, my first reaction was, well, gosh, I don't really know much about tribal courts. And then I thought, well, when I start out a film, I rarely know much about what it's about. I just get intrigued, and I love the research process and finding out and entering new worlds. And I thought, well, all right, I said to Ruth, if you'll cover the costs of a trip out to California to meet the two judges whom Jenny had recommended to be, you know, great people to be in the film. Let me meet them because, you know, film has to be carried by the strength and the interest of audiences in the characters, as one can refer to them in the films. You need strong people with dramatic stories in order to have audience stay with a film when it's about an issue like tribal justice. So Ruth and I went out to California. That was February of 2013, and met both of the judges. And you know, in order to stay with a documentary like this, a feature documentary, which is, you know, they're incredibly challenging to make in terms of funding, in terms of just logistics and...
They're very time-consuming, I would think.
Access and everything else. You have to kind of fall in love. There's nothing else that actually can see you through, you know, in this case was a four-year process of a lot of extremely stressful situations, financially, logistically, and in other ways. And so, you know, so when I met Abby and Claudette, it was like falling in love. It's like, okay, all right, I'm hooked. I have to do this film. What a privilege to be invited into these communities and to learn about this really important alternative justice system that Abby and Claudette and many of the other tribal judges across the country are creating that can reduce mass incarceration, that is about healing and resolution rather than about punishment, and that seems to me could be a model for the larger justice system. So I was hooked.
Ann Makepeace is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of the PBS documentary Tribal Justice, which focuses on two tribal courts in California. We're talking to Judge Abby Abinante as well, who is the chief judge at the Yurok Tribal Court in Northern California. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Judge Abby, I hear this is a very natural connection. You know Claudette White at the other tribal court?
Yes.
And how often did the two of you compare notes?
Well, I wouldn't say we compared notes a lot. We would certainly talk. You know, we're often at the same meetings, the same gatherings. And as she mentions in the film, she's several decades younger than I am, but nonetheless. Aside from that slight lapse in manners.
Right.
It goes well.
Well, let's talk about the boundaries of what is and is not contained within the tribal courts, particularly yours at the Yurok Tribal Court. I mean, what kinds of cases can you take and what are still relegated? Or, I mean, are there limits to what you can take into your court versus the state courts?
Oh, sure. I mean, we're a public law 280 state, and what that does is create a very complicated jurisdictional scheme that the state and the federal government and the tribes all negotiate and work with. And it's not an easy map to follow for any of us. And we're increasingly trying to work together, the three systems, because we can help and support each other. And concurrent jurisdiction doesn't necessarily mean either you do it or I do it. It can also mean let's do it together the best way we can. And that's what we're trying to do at this point.
And public law 280 is what makes it possible?
Well, it's part of the formula of what makes it possible. You have a formula of treaties, public law 280, the federal government and Congress and Supreme Court and their decisions, you know, and it goes on and on.
There's a particular case I see that is brought up in the film Tribal Justice, the case of Taos Proctor. How did he end up in your courtroom?
We were trying to work with the state courts, and he was a young man that we were familiar with. And we asked the state court judge at the time of sentencing, when he was about to be sentenced for his third strike, if we could create a release program and supervise him and report back to the state court on a regular basis. And if he was able to improve in behavior and responses, if they would reconsider and reduce his current offense so that he would not have to be serving a life sentence. And we felt that we could do that. And in the end, we were able to do that.
So does a person who comes to tribal court feel like they at least have a community around them? And I don't really imagine that anybody would feel that way in a standard courtroom.
Well, our role as a court really is as a member of the community, as a member of your extended family. Look, we're not happy with this behavior. You're not happy with this. You're not meeting your obligations in community. You're not providing for your family, for your parents who are getting older. This is not okay. You have a lot of things you should be doing and could be doing. And let's help you get back to that.
Ann Makepeace, I don't know how many documentaries you'd done on the legal system before this one or how much time you might have spent in courtrooms. How different was your experience witnessing what went on in tribal courts versus what you've seen in non-tribal courts?
Well, this is actually the first documentary I've done about any court system, so it was all new to me, but we did film in both state and tribal courts. You know, the story of the teenage boy Isaac, who gets in trouble with the, you know, with the mainstream justice system, his case, his juvenile delinquency case, could not be transferred into tribal court. Judge Claudette White, the judge in his tribe, who's also featured in the film, is actually working towards creating a juvenile code within the tribal constitution so that his kinds of cases can be transferred. But at the time we were filming, that wasn't the case. So we filmed him in state court, and just visually the difference that you see in the film Tribal Justice between what goes on in state court and in his trials or hearings and what goes on in tribal court is just so different. In the state court scenes that you see, you know, and, you know, massive numbers of people coming in and out. You see a desk that's piled 4 feet high with folders. Isaac's hearing lasts about 2 minutes, you know, each. Comes in, the judge reads to him about, there were two times we filmed him in the state court, and the first is just telling him what he can expect, and the next is sentencing. And so it's just totally impersonal. It's all about, you know, this is mandated, this number of years in prison would be mandated for this crime. Whereas, you know, in the tribal court scenes, they're conversations. Judge Abbey and Judge Claudette White speak to the people, listen to the people, hear their stories, think about, you know, and of course, in their cases, they know the families of, they know the people coming before them, and they know their families, and they can create resolutions or you know, mandate things that are appropriate for that person, to heal that person, to fix what's wrong, whereas in state court it's just not like that at all. And you can see that in the film.
The film is called Tribal Justice, coming to PBS, and Make Peace is the director of it. Judge Abby Abinanti is appearing in the film. She is the chief judge of the Yurok Tribal Court. We have time for questions and comments. If you'd like to join the conversation, at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Judge Abby, when we were preparing the program yesterday and looking for pictures to use on the web, we got the picture of the opening of the Yurok Tribal Court. So it's not terribly old. How many years in business now?
Well, that actually was the opening of our building. Mm-hmm. The tribe was organized in 1993, and we came in at that time just doing fishing court business, and then we evolved to a larger system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had a fair amount of time. And then what kind of long-term effects can you track then of people who you were able to handle through the tribal court rather than through state court, and issues of recidivism or not, or any of those sorts of things?
Well, we think we've made a lot of improvements, and we do a lot of community programming. I think one of our big programs, for instance, is we have state-certified batter intervention programs, and we work with batterers with culturally relevant programs. And we've been very successful with taking people out of the state system who are mandated to do the 52-week program. And they're successful in our program, and they were not able to be successful in other programs. And that is the kind of thing that kind of spreads out in your community, because when you are able to help resolve that issue with someone who lives in community, then you're helping, you know, on countless other people and their families. So we really work hard on the individuals and the programming. We're a lot more hands-on, so that we don't measure results in the same way. We look at a situation like Taos or one of the people who graduates from one of these other programs, and watch how they evolve in community and how life in their family improves. And that's very satisfying for us to see that.
That really
takes a lot longer, but it works.
It sounds like that really is a key, though, family, the idea that people know that they have a supporting community around them that are interested in them doing better.
Right. I think that's true.
And how long has the Ketchun Court, the Claudette White's Court, been doing business?
You know, I don't really recall, but for quite a while also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
2007 is when the court was set up.
Yeah. A bit more recent. Anne, Makepeace, what would you say is the thing that struck you most about watching both of these tribal courts in operation?
I think what struck me most is just the humanity that is so apparent in the court. I mean, it's the humanity of the judges, and that allows the humanity of those coming before them to come out and shine. There doesn't have to be this defensiveness and opaqueness that I think people going into a state court might exhibit or feel. So I think that's probably that's what comes to mind first: humanity, compassion, tough love, and then of course, you know, thinking about, well, how can this translate into the larger justice system? What can we do to help heal our justice systems, the, you know, the mainstream justice systems? And so those are the things that came to mind first.
So it's not meant to be a microscope. It's meant to eventually be a magnifying glass, in a sense, where it's going to get beyond just the tribal courts, perhaps, and we might consider the things that are done in tribal courts for a broader system.
Well, yeah, I mean, already there are a number of peacemaking courts in state courts across, you know, around the country. There's one in Brooklyn, Community Justice Center. There's a new one in Cook County, Cooks County, Illinois. There's one in Washtenaw County, Michigan. And these are peacemaking courts that model the sort of restorative justice methods of tribal courts. They've actually, in several cases, brought in Native peacemakers, people working in the system, to train these state court judges and others in their staff in those techniques.
The film Tribal Justice is part of the POV series on PBS. We talked to about five different PBS stations from where we sit in our public radio perch, and so I can see it's already aired on the Medford affiliate, but check the local listings for your PBS affiliate. Anne Makepeace is the Director of Tribal Justice, and Judge Abby Abinanti is the Chief Judge of the Yurok Tribal Court. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, thank you. And if people want to find out more about the film, where to get it or see it, website address is www.makepeaceproductions.com.
Makepeaceproductions.com. Thank you both again.
Yes.
Take care.